The Lindy's Football Report. This is the Lindy's Football Report with Graham Dunn, Michael Butler, and Lynn Scarborough. College football in-depth and complete in 30 minutes. The Lindy's Football Report is brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors and U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish.
The number one team in the final college football playoff rankings. It is the Big Ten champion, Indiana Hoosiers. Number nine, who will go to Norman to take on Oklahoma? And it's Alabama. Number 10, and it is Miami.
The invitations have been received. 12 teams are set to begin their quest for a national championship. You're expecting disagreements? Well, you got plenty of it. Thanks to Reese Davis and the crew at ESPN for our sound bites on what is our final edition of the Lindy's Football Report for 2025. Happy holidays and get ready for what should be a fascinating race to the finish line.
Happy holidays, Graham. Same to you and everybody else in the audience out there. The one thing that was not debated, the number one seed. Indiana, the only team at the end with an undefeated record, so they took the top spot. There was some question about whether Georgia would jump Ohio State by winning the SEC. They did not, but obviously there were plenty more teams to talk about.
Yeah, a lot happening on that Sunday, and getting to 12 teams seemed like pulling hind teeth. The first five or six were easy with Indiana, as you just mentioned, getting the first ever number one seed, followed by Ohio State, Georgia, and Texas Tech. Seeds 5 through 8 were all idle over the final weekend, but once we got past Oklahoma at 8, the questions began, especially when the Alabama Crimson Tide was announced that they were in the bracket as a 9th seed. And it continued when Miami was announced at number 10, knocking out Notre Dame, who had held a higher spot than the Canes for the entire ranking period until the last one. And for the first time, we have two groups of five teams in the field, Tulane and James Madison.
Yeah, the committee chose not to penalize a team playing in a conference championship game while other teams sat at home, Alabama being that team. They didn't move at all. They didn't look very good, but it didn't matter. And the one that everybody talks about is Notre Dame-Miami. If you're putting head-to-head together, Miami should be ahead. The problem was they weren't ahead all along until the very end. And again, both of those teams did not play. It seems like this committee is a reactive committee, that all the conversations affect them and they're picking. I know they won't say that, but it certainly looked that way. And, you know, there's a lot of teams that had reason for debate. Why aren't we in it? It came down to the Notre Dame, Miami, Alabama thing, Notre Dame being left out. Group of fives are in. They're not among the top 12 teams. I don't believe that, but that's the system we have. I don't know what will change going forward when we go to 16, which I expect we will at some point, whether they'll keep these automatic qualifiers, conference champions. I know they want to keep relevance to these games, but that's going to be interesting to see how we go going forward.
It is, and we've had several teams that have opted out of playing in bowl games, and one is Notre Dame, which apparently not real happy about how that whole thing was handled. They are sitting out of a bowl game, and they're also apparently looking at moving their quote-unquote membership from the ACC. We'll see how all that turns out. Well, we begin our preview of the playoffs with a look at the top seed. Yes, it might sound strange saying that about the Indiana Hoosiers, who knocked off Ohio State in the Big Ten Championship, earning their first ever top seed and number one ranking, I might add, in school history. But this has been a two-year build under Kirk Cignetti, who may be known for his offensive prowess, but he says it's his defense that sets it up for success.
You know, really, I guess if you looked at our defense relative to our offense in terms of, like, our defense is probably more aggressive than our offense. You know, because we're very balanced on offense between the run and the pass and don't put too much pressure on the quarterback. And you don't see us spreading the field with five wides, you know, things of that nature, running, you know, things that people don't see all the time. We're a little bit more conventional, although we are, you know, going to exploit weaknesses in a run game, pass game as well. And we got a lot of heady guys on defense, too. You look at that whole linebacking core, and a lot of those guys up front are smart guys. And then you got some really good coverage guys with ball skills.
Indiana will wait for the winner of Alabama and Oklahoma and will play in the Rose Bowl on New Year's Day. Last time the Hoosiers played in Pasadena, did you know this? 1967 season, 1968 Rose Bowl, they played USC, and that was their first ball game in their history.
I wasn't yet born. I'm sorry. I didn't remember that. No, Graham. Lynn might. Indiana, quite the Cinderella run under Cignetti. You can really go back to last year. I got to give it to him because nobody expected this team to be the number one seed going into this thing. You know, the defense has been really good, but you got to go to the quarterback. And this is a team built on transfers. They've adopted the modern model of college football. And Fernando Mendoza was excellent against Ohio State, making big plays when he had to make them. That's what gets you over the top. And they're definitely a team to contend with.
In more ways than one. And I think they finally gotten the detractors off their back.
Yeah, and also think about this, Graham. This program was known as the doormat of college football. They had more losses than any power program coming into this season. They're now past Northwestern for next to last. It's quite a testament to what's happened there.
I would agree. Well, as mentioned, the opponent for Indiana will come from the second meeting of the season between Alabama and Oklahoma. The two faced back on November 15th in Tuscaloosa with the Sooners winning a close battle. It was part of what some say was a late-season swoon for the Crimson Tide, which was belted by Georgia in the SEC championship game. It's been a struggle for quarterback Ty Simpson. The Tide offense, which was held to minus 3 yards against the Bulldogs in rushing, that's the lowest mark in 85 years. Can they turn it around? Well, Rodney Orr of Tider Insider says maybe.
Number one, DeBoer says they're going to be a different team in 2 weeks. We'll see. I thought Alabama did a great job in that first game. They just turned the ball over. I mean, Oklahoma, you know, they had 406 yards offense, Alabama did, versus 212. They were in a great position to win the game. They just turned the ball over. You know, critical mistakes that they made in the game. So many critical mistakes, offensively and on special teams. Now you've got to go up there where, guess what? You made a bunch of critical mistakes last year. You know, you set them up with interceptions, pick six, whatever. You know, you certainly two interceptions set up touchdowns. You know, you just didn't play well up there.
Oklahoma created three turnovers that led to scores in the previous meeting. Alabama almost doubled the offensive output of the Sooners, but they don't reward points for yardage.
No, it's not a stat game. It's a scoreboard game. That's what matters in the end. Alabama cleans that up. I think they feel like they got a great shot, but we can't go back and just take what happened in Tuscaloosa and carbon copy it to Norman. Alabama is a team that hasn't really played its best ball in a while, and I think a part of that is attrition. Of course, that's put more pressure on Ty Simpson. He's not been the quarterback he was midseason either. Can they get it going? Can they find a running game? Negative 3 yards in the championship against Georgia. Unbelievable. Oklahoma's good on the defensive side of the ball. That's going to cause problems for Alabama. They got to find a way with their offense if they're going to get over the top.
First 1-17 might win that one. Well, if Indiana is a surprise, what does that make Ole Miss? The Rebels make their maiden voyage to the playoffs, but it will be under a different head coach in Pete Golding, who takes over for the departed Lane Kiffin in what was a whirlwind week surrounding the Rebels' last regular season game. Athletic Director Keith Carter announced that Golding would be the new permanent coach as Kiffin was on his way to Baton Rouge. What does this do for the Rebels' chances in the first round against Tulane? Well, Brett Norsworthy of Ole Miss Radio believes it will give the players a little more freedom.
I don't think there will be an emphasis on either side of the ball. It will be all three phases of the game that will be emphasized, offense, defense, and special team. But I do think you'll see Pete with a little more, not just him. Lane showed emotion on the sideline, but I think Pete will let the players show a little more emotion. Lane really kept that pro mindset of, you know, not too high, not too low, but college sports still comes down, I think, to emotion, and I think Pete will let the players probably show a lot more emotion than Lane did. You would see Lane all the time on the sideline, especially with Jackson Dart, always kind of settle down, quit running around wanting to fist bump people and head bump people. I think Pete would let the players be a lot more emotional.
Well, it's the second meeting of the season for these two. Also, like Ole Miss, Tulane is in the playoffs for the first time and will also lose its coach in John Sumrall, who's headed to Gator Country once the Green Wave are eliminated.
You're already counting that? Once they're eliminated, this team's playing for a championship.
I just said once they're eliminated. Okay. I didn't say when.
All right. John Sumrall at least is going to be able to stick around and coach until they're eliminated. Lane Kiffin obviously out the door, although assistant is back. Charlie Weiss Jr. is going to hang around. And we get to see Of course, the Pete Golden era began with Ole Miss. Interesting that Lane Kiffin will be going up against John Summerall in the SEC when they're in their new assignments. This is another rematch, as you mentioned. We got a couple of them. This is a blowout from earlier. I don't think a lot of people expect Tulane to pull the monumental upset, as they were a 35-point loser the first time around. And that's what we got with a couple of these matchups. Hope this is a good game, but I'm with you. They'll be eliminated soon.
Well, I didn't mean to make it sound like I thought they were on their way out, but, well, Oregon is no stranger to the playoff, entering last season as the top overall seed, but they were eliminated by eventual champion Ohio State in the Rose Bowl, or now the quarterfinals. This is a different team from last year with new quarterback Dante Allen, who has been one of the more consistent quarterbacks in the country. The voice of the Ducks, Jerry Allen, has observed his maturity.
A lot of what he does probably doesn't show up on a stat sheet. He is just so composed, and he just runs the offense very well. And Oregon's two-minute offense, which they've had to do several times this year, late in ball games, he's the guy that is out there and operates it. And he's just a great leader, confident in himself, and his teammates are really confident in him. And those are the kind of the intangibles you can't really see on a stat sheet.
Well, the Ducks get upstart James Madison, which will also have a new coach next year. Seems to be the way it's going this year. Billy Napier, formerly of Florida, but Bob Chesney will coach through the playoffs, which most predict will be a one-game stay. Okay, I made another prediction.
That coaching carousel keeps going round and round, doesn't it? Well, Oregon, a team that's got a chance. They're a contender, I do believe. I think this is the most wide-open playoff field we've had in the history of this format. Obviously, it goes back even when we only had four teams. It just seems like anybody could win it. And Dante Allen, if he's on fire, definitely Oregon's got a shot. Their only loss is to Indiana this year.
Well, and along with Indiana, three other teams will sit out the first round: Ohio State, Texas Tech, and Georgia. Tech is making its first trip to the playoffs after winning the Big 12. Ohio State couldn't win the Big 10, but they didn't win it last year on the way to the national championship. And Georgia is back after what some would call a slow start to the season, but it picked up steam as it got closer to November before they played their best football of late. Or at least it seems that way. There have been some inconsistencies this season, although you wouldn't know it watching the SEC championship game. But Patrick Garvin of UGA Sports would like to see more of the same as that Crimson Tide game.
A team that was, if not the most inexperienced in the conference at the beginning of the year, one of the most, has just kind of turned a corner, matured. I still wonder about its consistency. I don't know. I don't know if this team has that in them. But then I look across college football and, you know, Ohio State, Indiana, yeah, maybe. But, you know, who else does? So, yeah, there's some concerns about if they were to face that gauntlet, you know, those other teams are going to have to face that gauntlet too.
Well, of the other three teams with byes, it's hard to pick a team that has an advantage with all four, and that's counting Indiana, playing pretty good football right now.
And you remember last year, all the bye teams were knocked out. It's wild that that happened. Many deem Georgia, especially the way they are coming out of that SEC championship game, to be one of the favorites. And Kirby Smart's one of the few coaches, there are only three active right now in college football, who have a national championship. He's got a couple of them. Of course, Ryan Day at Ohio State is one of the others. Dabo's at home watching on TV. Well, I think Georgia's a team that has to be one of the favorites, too. Gunnar Stockton's playing good ball, and the defense gets after it. They got a pretty good combination for a championship mix.
And I would say of those four teams, the one thing that sticks out, they all play very good defense, and that's probably going to be the key to who wins. And one more thing, what will the 2025 season be remembered for? Will it be the upsets, the close battles, the controversies? Well, chances are it'll be most remembered for the coaching changes that began 3 weeks into the regular season, September 12th to be exact, and have continued through the last few days. Actually, the terminations began before the season opened when Stanford fired Troy Taylor for violation of NCAA compliance procedures. That was in March. A few weeks later, Kent State released Kenny Burns for violations of university policies. Once the season began, the coaching carousel got going full throttle, with at least one coach being fired almost every week. The most notable, Penn State's dismissal of James Franklin after the Nittany Lions lost a third straight game in mid-October. Franklin had spent 11 years at the helm in Happy Valley, While he did land on his feet at Virginia Tech, the stage was set for one crazy season of changes, including Oklahoma State, which let Mike Gundy go after 21 seasons. Six teams in the Southeastern Conference will have new coaches next year, but the one most fans will keep an eye on is at LSU, where Lane Kiffin made a controversial move from Ole Miss that spanned several days of publicity of will he or won't he leave Oxford. And all 27 changes in FBS coaching have taken place to date. More are expected as we get into bowl season. More than likely, this is a sign of things to come in the profession as the pressures of making the playoffs make its way into the standards of the sport. For the final show of the season, we give you our U.S. Farm Raised Catfish Catch of the Year. And it's no surprise it comes from the number one team in the final CFP poll. On November 1st, Indiana stayed in the playoff hunt with a win over Penn State that came down to this late touchdown pass in the back of the end zone from Fernando Mendoza to Omar Cooper for the winning score. Don Fisher of the Indiana Sports Network has the call.
Mendoza in the backfield, back to throw. Pressure comes again, throws it to the end zone. And the catch is made. Is it a touchdown? Touchdown!
Remember, for the tailgate tent or the pregame party, U.S. Farm Raised Catfish is always the winning catch. To find out more, visit uscatfish.com.
This is the Lindy's Football Report.
Lindy's, America's leader in providing great magazines and specialty publications covering the gamut of sports. For daily updates, check out lindysports.com with original content, including features, columns, and predictions. LindySports.com also features photo galleries, fantasy sports news, and up-to-the-minute items to keep you abreast of events from the ever-changing realm of sports. Lindy's, America's leading sports authority.
Saturdays are all about college football. Your tailgate matters too. Make it great with U.S. Farm Raised Catfish. Catch up on all the great recipes by visiting our website. Check out our videos and learn about how U.S. farm-raised catfish makes every Saturday exceptional, no matter the outcome of the biggest games. As always, it's fresh from our ponds to your plate. Remember, like we say every week, for the tailgate tent or the pregame party, U.S. farm-raised catfish is always the winning catch. Find out more, visit uscatfish.com.
At Academy Sports and Outdoors, we carry all the gear you need from the top brands, all at prices you'll love. And now shopping at Academy is more convenient than ever. We offer free assembly on in-store purchases of most bikes and grills. Plus, free and easy curbside pickup on Academy.com orders. Want to save even more every day? Open and use an Academy Sports and Outdoors credit card to get 5% off future purchases when you're approved. Save time and money at Academy Sports and Outdoors. Remember, fun can't lose.
The Lindy's Football Report.
Here's Michael Butler with the Academy Sports Player of the Week.
Vanderbilt quarterback Diego Pavia made the most of his court-granted extra year of eligibility, throwing for 3,192 yards and 27 touchdowns to lead the Commodores to a 10-2 mark. The dual-threat quarterback attempted 42 more passes this season than last year and had more than 1,000 yards than last season in Nashville, while totaling 826 yards and 9 touchdowns on the ground. It could certainly be argued no player had more of an impact on his team's success than Diego Pavia. This year's Academy Sports and Outdoors Award Player of the Year.
One more time, we bring in Lynn Scarborough from Lindy's and LindySports.com. First of all, happy holidays, Lynn.
Same to you, Graham, and to everybody affiliated with the Lindy's Football Report. Merry Christmas to everyone. Appreciate the reason that we have this season. And thank you to the sponsors with our program. Thank you to the affiliates. Thank you to the listeners. We appreciate this. Without these people, we would not have the Lindy's Football Report. And I want to thank everyone and wish them a happy holiday season.
Well, certainly this has been an incredible season. We've had drama. We've had coaching changes. Maybe more to come. Just kind of give us a recap.
I think it's probably the most, I'm going to say, volatile season that we've had, certainly during the Lindy's Football Report years, but maybe in the decades that I've covered the sport. And for a number of reasons. One, I think we had so many early ranked teams that proved the predictions to be wrong. Florida, LSU, Clemson, Penn State, all teams that were ranked high, and you didn't go very long in the season to see that, that this was not correct. That showed itself in the number of coaching changes. There haven't been this many coaching changes and teams going through it, I think probably ever in the modern day of college football. And I think you've got two big reasons, Graham. One, of course, is the amount of money that's involved with the coaches. You're going to pay coaches this much and their staff this much. You're going to expect that you're going to get a return for your dollars. The second thing, I believe, is the early signing period. Because before you had the early signing period, there wasn't as much pressure to make a decision. But now that you've got, you know, as the time that we're doing this show right now, you've probably got 70% of the guys that in the old days would have been signing later that have already committed and signed. If you're going to make a coaching change, you can't do it at the end of the season. You're going to have to let players know who they'll be playing for. So I think that those are the two primary reasons. I think that we'll remember this season for some great individual players. Diego Pavia comes to mind because of what he's done and really kind of captivated college football. I think you've got some teams, Indiana, Vanderbilt, Virginia, Brigham Young, teams that aren't normally considered as your traditional powers that have made it close to getting into the playoff. And I think it'll probably be remembered as a season that brings about change. When we do the 2026 Lindy's Football Report season, God willing, I believe that we're going to have a lot of changes that have been made because of things that happened in the 2025 season. I think there's just a question of what those changes are going to be.
All right, let's make our final picks of the year. You make your final picks of the year, and we'll do the playoff games the first round. We'll start with James Madison in Oregon.
I like Oregon. I think Oregon's got the better team, obviously. Congratulations to James Madison for making it, but you got to go with Oregon.
All right. How about Ole Miss taking on Tulane? Second time these two teams have met.
Yeah, and that's a little bit different from the James Madison situation. I will take Ole Miss. I don't expect it to be a 45-10 game like the first one, but I do like Ole Miss to win the game.
And another rematch from the Southeastern Conference. Alabama this time going to Norman to play Oklahoma.
Yeah, I'm going to take Alabama to win that game. Of course, Oklahoma's the home team, so normally I would favor them. But Alabama's got to turn this around. They have not closed strong, losing to Oklahoma before. Then they get beat pretty soundly by Georgia. They almost lost to Auburn. They've just not had a strong finish. I like Alabama to bounce back.
And then the final game, as far as the first round is concerned, Miami at Texas A&M.
I'm going to go with Texas A&M because of the home team. But if I had to pick an upset among those four, I think this is a dangerous game for Texas A&M. And I think Miami could win this, but I'm going to go with Texas A&M.
We'll look ahead a little bit here. We'll ask you to pick who you think will be in the national championship game.
I'm going to take Indiana to be there and Indiana to win it. I know that's the easy way out, to take the guy that's ranked number one, but Indiana has proven themselves to me that last year was not a fluke. I'm going to go with the Hoosiers, who actually have lost more football games than any other traditional Division I team ever. So you got the team that's had the most losses that's this year going to have the most significant win. I'm going to take Indiana to be the national champion.
That's this week's Lindy's Football Report with Graham Dunn, Michael Butler, and Lynn Scarborough. Brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors and U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish.